Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Ooh, we are an hour away from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. Nebraska plays tonight.
The Brewers play tonight. Hometown boys on the mound. Yep. Cannot wait for that.
Front row Amy is going to be on TV tonight.
Yes!
Maybe I'll skip the Nebraska game and watch the Brewers.
You could see her from across the living room without your readers on. God love her. She loves the Brewers.
We love her.
Okay.
We love her. Festivus Friday is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com. By the way, I will be cursing your name all weekend long.
Do you want my nose spray?
This cough, the nose spray does not stop the cough. You got me sick.
I will say that Scott called me this morning. Just specifically
saying
to
mean things.
Curse your name.
that's actually true.
And then he goes, "That's all I got. I'll see it work." And I was like, "What a weird reason to call!" Okay. But all right,
I said, "I'm gonna kill her."
Yep.
That was, I think, the first line out of my mouth.
Uh-huh. I said, "Hello." Or,
you said, "Hello, governor."
Yeah, hello, governor.
And I go, "I'm gonna kill her."
Yeah. How come you get to be the governor?
He's the senator.
Well, what am I?
Satan.
Typhoid Mary.
Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Can we get past the iconic brands rebranding themselves? First it was Cracker Barrel.
Then it was Maxwell Apartment. Remember Maxwell House went to Maxwell Apartment for a couple of
Don't forget
days.
Long John Silver
Long
Chicken.
Long John Silver's did it.
Okay.
Going away from the fish to the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Now Lay's has announced it is calling its biggest rebrand in nearly 100 years. The top-selling potato chip brand in the U.S. has redesigned its chip bags and recipes. So they're not only changing the look, they're changing the flavor. When you're the top-selling potato chip in the country, why are you doing anything other than continuing to do what you're already doing?
We're talking about it, aren't we?
Perhaps their sales, et cetera, have slipped according to their spreadsheets, and so they want to do something.
For the packaging, by the way, Lay's says that its new logo has a warmer, more distinct sun, and now has sun rays or Lay's rays beaming from it. I didn't write
Lay's
this.
That's rays.
That's their words, not mine.
Got it.
The company says its new packaging will note that it uses real potatoes for its chips, while having a refined color palette inspired by its recipes. As for the ingredient changes, Lay's says it's removing artificial flavors and colors from its core products in the U.S. by the end of the
year. We talked about this, though. Will they be grayish?
Would you eat them if they were?
Yeah, they're chips.
Well, and we have to understand that there are many, many, many natural ways to color food. They do it in every other country on the planet.
How do you color it naturally?
You get natural food dye. You don't have to use chemicals that make our brains go wild. For whatever reason, we just decided, you know, 50 years ago, as other countries moved away from those chemicals, that instead of moving away from them, we were going to lean into them.
I got a good mystery that surely will end up as a Dateline episode involving a billionaire and an untimely fall to his death off a cliff.
Hmm.
The son of a fashion tycoon worth $5 billion is now being probed as a suspect in his father's, quote, sudden cliff fall death. The son and heir of the billionaire founder of Mango, a fashion company,
okay,
his name is Isaac Andic, is being probed as a suspect in his father's death after his dad plunged from a cliff last year while the pair were out hiking. Andic, the owner of the global fashion empire, died after falling more than 320 feet near Barcelona last December. Authorities at the time had described it as an accident. However, following a 10-month probe, multiple local media outlets are reporting that the case has since shifted to a possible homicide investigation, with his son, age 44, now officially being looked at. Officials zeroed in on him. He, by the way, took the helm of the board of the billionaire's company after his father's death.
How strange.
They zeroed in on him as a potential suspect due to contradictory statements he gave the cops when the tragedy occurred. And apparently the trail they were walking on is not
dangerous,
difficult or dangerous at all. The son was the sole witness. He told police at the time he'd been walking just ahead of his father on this trail, a route that is frequented by families. After hearing stones falling, he said he turned to see his father, quote, suddenly falling off the edge of the path.
Mm.
Sources familiar say that his version of the events may not align with the forensic evidence at the site.
He saw it as he extended his arms.
Right?
Hmm.
Allegedly.
That's right, allegedly.
Uh-huh. His girlfriend was also there.
Well, does she tell the same story?
No, but authorities...
Did she recently have an influx of millions of dollars into her bank account?
The authorities say that the relationship between father and son, quote, was bad at the time.
Well, then if it was bad, why were they going hiking together?
I don't know, Dad. Why don't we go for a hike and clear the air as you fall through
with,
it?
With my girlfriend?
It reminds me of the guy in Hawaii, I think it was. They went on a hike and he tried to claim that she fell off the cliff, and come to find out, he tried to stab her with a needle, hit her over the head with a rock. I mean, all this crazy stuff went on. Honey, let's take a picture next to the edge of the cliff.
This is reason 5,423
that you don't go hiking.
That you don't hike. There's nothing good that comes out of hiking.
Well, you just have to be stronger than the other person you're hiking with.
Yeah.
Or faster.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't understand the purpose of a hike.
Well, you hate joy all you want to.
Oh, then my other favorite story of the day, Scott.
I just found my 1989 prom picture on Facebook.
You will be sharing with that me right now so I can share that glorious gem with the... Oh, my gosh!
By the way,
look at your side eye.
Well, it was sunny that day, and I had just gotten done having some massive plastic surgery on my face.
Very debonair, and your date is absolutely beautiful.
Is this a front yard photo, or is this
the It was official? Taken on the back patio of her parents' home.
Okay. Back patio.
She, by the way, is now the wife of the Leavenworth police chief.
Chief Kitchens. I will tell you this. He looks very, very debonair.
I do look debonair.
And that mullet is glorious.
It is a glorious mullet.
Do you have a
boutonniere? Do I? Let me see.
No, you do not.
Your dad said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm looking for my son.
That is me, 1989.
Send that to me right now, please.
I can't.
He who loves making fun of Dana's 1992 year.
The blood red dress.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Dan, did you see this? I posted that photo, and I said, if your hair was taller, Post me your best hair in comments. And I'm telling you, ladies, you came through. It is glorious. People were posting photos, Sam, from between like 1986 and 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny, not funny, I said, you all are so beautiful and so funny, but all of those photos, that snapshot in time, you really do look like the Let's Look Back photo on a Dateline episode when the popular girl goes missing. She was a popular cheerleader in 1989, never to be seen again after she went on a hike with her boyfriend, right? But people were posting their Aquanet glamour shots. Remember glamour shots?
The Coke can bangs.
Oh my gosh, the Coke can bangs.
I look like I'm too cool for school right now.
Oh, yeah.
Full of myself.
Can you send it to me?
I'm proud of you, Scott, because you know what? You went through a trauma. Like, you know, we joke and we kid because we love, but that sort of trauma that is legitimately face forward. You cannot, you know, it would be devastating to lose a spleen or have a spinal injury. In your high school years, to suffer an injury the way that you did, survive that injury the way that you did, and then come out stronger because of it, I don't know many people that could do it. You must have had incredible strength and incredible physicians and glory. You know, the women said, I don't care what his face looks like. I want to run my fingers through that hair.
Well, it is a full head of hair.
Oh, Sam. I mean,
it's a glorious mullet.
It is a...
The 80s were something, man.
Did you use a metal bowl to cut your bangs?
No.
Those things are straight across.
They're
man.
They're a little tight cropped.
Yeah, I would have preferred them longer.
This was before the Flo-Bee.
Yeah, and her name at the her name was Jessica Duffin at the time. She's now Jessica Kitchens, the wife of the Leavenworth
She's
police
beautiful.
Chief, which is why I don't go to Leavenworth
some,
very
there's
often.
There's some Aquanet in that hair too.
Don't need to get arrested. Oh my. All right, we got Fester's Friday coming your way. Right after the 5 o'clock news, it is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate, Q39KC.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I feel sorry for the people that have ever taken photographs with us when we were younger, like Jessica Kitchens and Leavenworth. Because now I sent the picture to Dana, and she's and the joke's on me. I get it. You know, my mullet and I got side eye in this picture. I don't know why. But she's going to become a victim to your, how many followers do you have on Facebook? Like 25,000 or 50, is it 50,000?
I think it's more than that.
Okay. And you're going to post this on your Dana Wright KMBZ page?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
And the joke's supposed to be on me, but this poor young lady who all she did was say yes when I said, would you go to prom with me? That was her only crime.
Did you have to call her on the rotary phone? Oh, please do tell.
I don't remember. I mean, this was in the spring of 1989. No, I mean, she went to Leavenworth, I went to Lansing, but we had a mutual friend and a gal named Julie Couch.
You didn't have to pick up the phone and call with the sweaty palms and be like, so, how was your day? Great.
She and Julie Couch were like best friends, and yeah. She was always over at Julie's house, and that's how I met her. And
Sorry, is this Skid Row? Yes, it is. Yes, please, I remember you. Will you slow skate to me with that mullet? Fabulous. God, I love the song.
Yeah, pretty embarrassing.
All the tears you cried, they call my name.
Oh, I don't know. I probably called. I mean, this was before, and you've seen it.
The dramatic promposals.
Where, you know, it's like, yeah, where you go and you write something, big placard, and you go stand in front of their yard and pray to God they don't say no.
I'd stare a lifetime into your eyes.
I know you would.
My God, what a great song. I miss the late 80s.
I don't remember, but my guess is I probably called her on the phone and just... And you've got to keep in mind, I was fresh out of the car accident, and so I was horribly self-conscious about my appearance.
Which, look at that photo, Sam. It's on the KMBZ page now. Look at it. You can barely tell. Under your right eye, it looks like a line that... You know when football players put the little line under their eyes... For whatever that black stuff is, depending on their eyes. It's about that length under the eye. It's perfectly horizontal.
Yeah.
But I was expecting like a Frankenstein. You know, plastic surgery's come a long way to today. Oh, he just spied the mullet.
No, he's laughing at you saying Frankenstein.
Well, right after you get out of any car wreck and plastic surgery.
he's barely alive.
I just always assume, Scott, and I'm sure there's not a lot of photos of you back then. I wouldn't want to photograph that. But I always assumed that right after, it was a zipper on your face. And I'm just telling you, this looks really good.
Well, that was about 4 months after my first plastic surgery.
You've got to really zoom in to look. And then even then, it sort of looks just like a blemish.
Yeah. And then I ended up having a second one about 8 months later.
What was it that they said to your dad? They said, come in here and tell us what do you want him to look like?
So my dad never carried photos in his wallet of anybody. It was just his driver's license, a couple credit cards maybe. What health insurance, whatever. He did not carry photographs of my mom or of me, my brother, nothing. And I got in the car accident. It would have been about, I don't know, probably 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It was after track practice. And somehow, some way, he was at work. My dad was a workaholic.
Yeah.
And he was still at Fort Leavenworth, and he got a call that I was in the hospital. And so he rushed down to St. John's, I believe is the name of the hospital in Leavenworth, and he runs into the emergency room. They're doing everything they can to... I was bleeding. I was literally bleeding out.
One of our listeners says he looks just like a young Russell Crowe.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind. Anyway, the main surgeon who... Because I was bleeding to death. And the main surgeon came out of the emergency room, and they said to my dad... They said, it is funny now, but they said, do you have a picture of your son? We're trying to reconstruct his face.
Yeah.
And my dad said, I don't, but I can tell you what he looked like.
Even then he's joking.
He was so funny. He goes, he had two eyes, a nose, and a mouth.
Put them back where they belong.
Yeah. And that's all my dad said. And then, you know, obviously it's fine. Unless you guys bring it up, I really don't think about it very
often. How long were you out of school?
4 days.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. I was back in school within 4 days.
Wow.
I even went to school with stitches in my face.
I'll tell you this, hats off to your plastic surgeon because you can barely tell, as violent as that wreck was that almost took your life, you can barely tell.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Absolutely. I really do appreciate that. But when you're 16 years old...
I know.
And, you know, and it's,
I know.
It's 1988. You get really self-conscious.
Well, think about, I think boys too, and this was before we all openly tried to get young men to start talking about their feelings. Boys have a different set of self-conscious issues going through puberty in high school with respect to height, with respect to muscle tone, with respect to weight, and and that kind of stuff back then, like no one even talked about that stuff. Where I think now we're doing a better job of, okay, let's talk about it. Why are we using protein powder? Let's talk about this. What do we, you know, let's, why are you not feeling great about yourself? Because those years are hard enough anyway. And then for you to go through that on top of everything during, what were you, 17?
I was 16.
Oh God, that's the worst time in any teenager's life anyway.
And that look, by the way, I don't think is any indication of how you felt in the moment. That was just the, I'm too cool for school look.
Oh, it is swagger.
Yeah, I don't have to smile.
He's like, ladies, line forms to the left.
I'll be honest with you, and this will be the last thing I want to say about the car wreck and all that stuff. You will never see in those first few years after the wreck, I never smiled for two reasons. Before the plastic surgery, when I would smile, this part of my cheek right underneath the scar was like a bubble, and it would bubble out. And so smiling made my face malproportioned, I think is the right word. And the other reason is at the time I had not, and I really had to work on this. When I would smile, my right eye, which is the side of my face where the scar is on, my right eye would not, you know, when you smile, your eyes squint.
Yeah.
Right?
And your right eye
would. My right eye would not squint.
Because of the nerve damage.
Right. And so what I ended up having to do was sit in front of a mirror for hours.
And practice.
And practice smiling where I could squint the lower half of my right eye.
From some of our listeners, did you have a bottle of peach schnapps in the back of your eye rock ready to go?
Yes, I did. And some Mad Dog 2020.
From listener David, that's Tom Cruise. From Chuck, save some of that party in the back for the rest of us.
Yeah, so I guess you've already posted it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. And I've asked you guys, because paybacks are hell, please post your glorious mullet prom photos as Scott.
Oh, you really did, didn't you?
Oh, guys are already posting theirs. Scroll down. It's hilarious. It's on the Dana Wright KMBZ page. The IROC
poor,
Z.
Poor Jessica. She didn't ask for this.
It's all right.
913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks.
So the only word that I have an issue here with in the next story, and you can find this on all kinds of news outlets and publications today, but the only word that I have an issue with is elaborate in the scheme that we're about to tell you about. A man and a woman have been charged in, quote, an elaborate $600,000 voodoo psychic fortune telling scheme.
Sure.
I'm going to show you a photo of the accused in the case.
Neither one looks sober, by the way. Allegedly.
Authorities in Pennsylvania say two people are facing charges in a psychic fraud case that prosecutors say somehow swindled victims out of more than $600,000. They did this through false promises to lift curses on the clients.
All right.
52-year-old Gina Marie Marks and 40-year-old Steve Nicholas were arrested last week and charged with multiple felonies, including corruption, theft by unlawful taking, theft by deception, dealing in the proceeds of unlawful activities, receiving stolen property, and fortune telling. According to investigators, they operated out of something called Jenkinstown Psychic Visions, where they allegedly convinced victims they were cursed and would need expensive rituals to remove the spiritual affliction. One victim was allegedly told that failure to pay to remove the curse would destroy her business and her family. Over 11 months, I want you to do the math here, Scott. Over 11 months, prosecutors say they collected $600,000 in cash, jewelry, clothing, concert tickets, and gift cards, promising people they would cleanse their curse.
It's $54,000 a month. It's pretty good gig.
I don't think they had 54 clients a month, if you see where I'm going with that. I
who who would, and I use the word
Scott,
buy, not in the literal
sense.
Scott,
I do not know. The first victim came forward, and then another victim came forward and said that one of them allegedly demanded increasingly personal information and photographs, as well as a Chanel purse to remove the curse. Honestly, Scott, I don't.
Fools and their money are easily parted.
That's my question. You know, we've talked about this before. When a rogue pastor says he needs $1 million for a brand new jet, are those people that hand over that money to him crime victims? That is a very gray area where you are told by someone you're cursed. Let's just start with that. Okay. And then you're told we can help you with that, but you're going to have to give me a Chanel bag. And they do. Like, at what point does it cross over from you are so naive, what the hell are you thinking, into a crime?
So you're talking about Creflo Dollar, by the way. I think he's the pastor that told everybody you need to give me money for
a voodoo curse.
I understand. But so I guess you could argue that voodoo is its own religion in a weird kind of way.
In New Orleans, it is. I mean, I feel bad, but it's one of those stories where you're
because
just like,
what Creflo Dollar did was not a crime, in my opinion.
Asking for money for a jet is not a crime.
If you ask for money and you say, you know, God told me you guys need to pass the plate around again because I didn't get enough on the first go around and I need to buy a jet. God has told me that. It would be really hard to disprove that God told him that he needs a jet in his
disprove that I'm cursed.
Like I said, I don't know that they committed a crime. If you consider voodoo potentially to be a religion or a component of a religion.
They're calling it theft by deception.
They're going to.
The victims were told they could remove curses in exchange for money. Oh.
Prove that I didn't remove the curse.
Scott, prosecutors allege the pair told two victims that they could remove curses in exchange for money. I read that $600,000 was divided between two people that thought they were cursed.
Prove I didn't remove the curse.
Prove they weren't cursed to begin with.
You're the one bringing the charges against me.
These defendants, through their con and scheme, preyed on people who were looking for help, guidance, and hope. Is that not
religion?
A fortune teller? Read my palms. Well, I see gold in your future. Okay. Do you have a boyfriend? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see very good things in your future. How is that any different?
It's not. Like I said, I don't think that they committed a crime.
Is it a crime because it was $600,000? One of the curses, by the way, on a phone reading, by the way, they told this woman she was under a, quote, powerful curse preventing her from finding love and happiness.
Prove that she wasn't.
From the text line, my client is an idiot. That's not against the law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
That's also from A Few Good Men.
That's right. To your point about palm reading, what about fortune tellers, tarot card flippers, that John Edward guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
someone is coming through. Dan, David, starts with a D.
Hang on.
And then someone goes, Brad? Yes.
Yes, it's Brad. But then, Sam, you had that experience with that one medium.
She was a medium, yes.
Okay.
She has since passed.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did you pay for that or was that free?
Other people attending paid. It was free for me.
It was free for you. Okay. And you really do believe that there was some sort of bizarre fourth dimensional connection.
I don't know how many people in this world carry the name Joseph Howard, and I don't know how many people in this world would put those two names together randomly and then be able to tell me three very specific things about my life despite having zero prior knowledge. I wasn't even supposed to be at the event. Mm-hmm. So the argument of, well, maybe she looked you up, again, wasn't even supposed to be
there. I can't stand it. When we go to break, the website is still up. There is a phone number. Now, they're in prison. No one's going to answer.
No. We cannot call them unless we have their permission to put them on the air.
Their website is still up and running. She says, we are gifted psychics and healers and also a manifestation coach. I reunite soulmates and bring twin flame energy too, period. Also large selection of crystals and candles and insane, period. Tarot readings, vision readings, palm readings. I'm just...
They do all of it.
Except punctuation.
Well, energy healing is a real thing.
They do accept credit cards.
Mackie swears by it.
It's real. Like it.
They are wheelchair accessible. You do get free Wi-Fi. They are closed on Sundays. Pretty sure they're going to be closed on every day. But
what crime have they committed?
If it got increasingly aggressive, and you can prove that, does that not sort of kind of blur into maybe extortion?
What about people who sell extended car warranties that you buy?
Twice?
Yeah.
Do you buy them twice and then you can't get your money back from one of them?
Mm-hmm. How extended are we talking here?
Do you still have the extension on your
car
warranty?
No, I no longer have the car. Oh. Do you believe one or
still
both
don't have
of
the money.
Those warranties went
still
to the,
don't have the money? Dana is the only human being in America. Mm-hmm. Who bought two extended car warranties on the same car?
Let alone one.
Because they told me the time was running out, and this is about the time that those types of cars start having problems. So I was like, oh, God, yeah, sign me up. I already had one.
Do you buy the...
I was doubly covered.
Do you buy the endurance car insurance that Ludacris sells on CNN?
It's the platinum brand.
With iced tea.
I know. You look at those, and it's like, all right, okay. How is that not a scam?
I would argue it is. One guy says...
When there's a woman, she goes, my whole engine blew out and my car flew off a cliff.
They replaced it for
$14,000. They replaced the whole thing. Like, no, they did not.
And the insurance company would tell you your car is totaled and your engine, we're not paying $14,000 for a new engine.
I got a check for $14,000.
That doesn't happen. They will total the car and then give you what the blue book market value is.
So then what is the crime? It's not criminal just because you don't believe in it.
That's my point. Because you are easily parted with your own money mm-hmm. does not make me a criminal. And
would you like a psychic reading?
No, I would not. I don't believe in it.
You feel a little under the weather. I feel like your palms are showing.
I feel under the weather because I work with you. 913-586-7710.
Angry energy.
No, I'm not angry. You got me sick. 913-586-7798.
Never going to find happiness. Give me your watch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You know it's true.
What, are we just doing 1989 songs now for the rest of the show? You post one picture of you and your prom date on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. I'm in love with you, girl. On my mind. You're what the you one get? You think about most every time. God, they were good, even though it wasn't them. I'm in love, girl. So in love, girl.
It might finally be time to set those parental controls. New research suggesting that social media is not just feeding your kid the latest memes. It may actually be messing with their brain power. A study out of the University of California, San Francisco, found that children who spend more time on the apps scored lower on reading, vocabulary, and memory tests. And the longer they scrolled, the more their performance slipped. Researchers dug into the data of more than 6,000 children between the ages of 9 and 11 who are part of a long-running adolescent brain cognitive development study, which is going to track social media use among other factors. The kids were split into three groups based on how their social media habits evolved over time. One group used little to no social media. The second group started with low use but reached about an hour a day by the time they turned 13. Third group spent three or more hours a day. They found that the kids
that spent
three or more hours a day scored lower on tests.
We're about to have AI sexually explicit material.
8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, every day.
You think the kids are messed up now?
By the time they become adults, we're looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of hours in a virtual reality. Find a way that they can break from that at 18 years old. They will not be able to. We are literally creating humans that are...
I know. Look, I'm not a prude, attached. You know that. But, like, I don't think 17-year-olds should be getting into relationships with a computer. Like, that where they feel like their emotional needs are being met because some computer on the other end is saying, what are you doing tonight, babe? I mean, that's just not... That is so weird.
Go ahead, Sam.
20% of kids report they either have been in a AI relationship or know someone who has been in an AI.
Speaking of AI, this was in my stack. We could not get to it today. We might bring this back Monday. I told you that my daughter played a really good joke on me, and I thought it was funny. It was really good. For about 30 seconds, I was panicking. She sent me this photo of a man at her door, and she wrote, you saw the text, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this man would not leave. He wanted to come in.
Looked homeless.
To use the restroom. And she's like, he's been in there like 15 minutes.
And you were screaming on the phone.
I go,
he's looking for your drugs.
He's looking for drugs. I go, do not tell me you let that man in your house. Listen to this headline. Police departments across the United States are warning communities about the, quote, AI homeless man prank. You know why? Because people that are like me that see this
are hauling ass to Lawrence to save their kid.
Calling police departments, law enforcement departments in several states say that an online trend in which people are tricked into believing a man is in their home could have dangerous consequences. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Yonkers Police Department today created an AI-generated image of a homeless man inside of its headquarters to show you how convincing it can be. And I'm telling you, this photo she sent me was right outside of her door. And yep. I was like,
it looked real.
What?
I fell for it. I said, what are you doing?
They said the disturbing and dangerous prank causes panic and wastes public resources, mm-hmm. as it can result in police officers responding to non-existent emergencies.
The internet was one of the greatest inventions of humankind and one of the worst.
One video raked in more than 1 million views.
Hmm.
Yep, from the text line, look at the movie Idiocracy from 2006. Man, it was a great documentary.
Yeah. Right?
Just hadn't happened funny. Yet.
That's exactly right.
It's a great documentary.
It's happened in Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, and Wisconsin, where police responded to multiple calls of home intrusions, only for officers to get there and learn the break-ins were fake.
Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Festivus Friday is coming up next. It is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com. This is the best time to get in. All the phone lines are now open. If you have a grievance on this Friday afternoon, we want to hear it. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Festivus Friday, when we return on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.